Hello and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and this week I'm going to do a variation on the recipe decoder approach. Instead of focusing on very particular words and terms in a recipe, I'm going to go through a whole recipe that was recently given to me by somebody who said, "I love this recipe, it looks super delicious, but I'm very intimidated by it and it seems a little too complicated." So what we did was went through it line by line and decided what parts were essential to making the recipe succeed and what parts were not necessary. So the recipe is coconut bread pudding. It's adapted from Laurent Tourandel, who's a French chef who has several restaurants here in New York City. And I have to admit a terrible prejudice. When I see a French name, I'm like, oh, this is going to be hopelessly complicated. Well, to be fair, when I see a French name associated with a big name restaurant, I assume it's going to be complicated. Restaurant chefs have an army of prep cooks working for them down in the basement doing whatever their heart desires. And when they write recipes, they often don't remember quite how much of their recipes involve those little prep cooks scurrying around to do their bidding. And they end up with recipes that are often needlessly complicated and not really adaptable for home. Or they call for special equipment, special techniques. Very often you can adapt recipes written by restaurant chefs and you can adapt them to home use without really too much loss at all. And this coconut bread pudding is a really excellent example. I will put a link to it on the website at cookinginrealtime.com under the show notes for this episode, so you can look that up. I'll read through it. It is very straightforward. It is 6 eggs, 1⅛ cup sugar, 2 cups heavy cream, a 13.5-ounce can coconut milk, 2 tablespoons of dark rum, and 10 slices of challah or sliced brioche bread. So pretty straightforward. The ingredients themselves, not complicated at all, and actually a pretty short ingredient list, so that's encouraging. Step 1 of the recipe says, in the bowl of an electric mixer fitted with a whisk attachment, which is where you have that like, as everything grinds to a halt. What if you don't have an electric mixer fitted with a whisk attachment? You don't have to have one. Honestly, as we'll get farther into this recipe, it becomes pretty clear that already in this first line, things are being unnecessarily finicky and you can just dispense with them. So if you don't have an electric mixer with a whisk attachment, just get out a bowl with a whisk. And it's actually not going to take too much hard labor to mix all these things together. It's only eggs and sugar and cream and coconut milk and rum. So that is not gonna break your arm. Even if you did have an electric mixer, I don't think it would be worth setting it up and getting it dirty for this thing. So bowl of an electric mixer fitted with a whisk attachment, just ignore that part. Get out a bowl, combine eggs and 1⅛ cups sugar. Okay, that's easy. It says mix until smooth. You definitely wanna do that with your whisk, just until you feel the sugar dissolving a little bit under your whisk. Don't go crazy. It's all going to cook together in the oven. It'll be fine. Now, this is where the recipe again gets a little dodgy. We're already into the third sentence. It says, in a small pan, bring cream to a boil. With mixer running at medium-low speed, slowly add hot cream, add coconut milk and rum, mix again just until smooth. Allow the mixture to rest at room temperature for an hour. So what this is describing is he is basically pre-cooking this egg mixture, which I don't think is necessary because you're going to put everything in the oven and bake it in the end. This is really a sign of restaurant finesse. They're making the custard beforehand to make sure it's smooth and it holds together perfectly, and then they're going to finish it off in the oven. And this is something you have the luxury of doing in a restaurant. You can say, prep cooks, go make me a little custard cream, and they will, and then it'll be ready, and then you'll assemble the dish. You at home are just really going to want to put everything in a pan and bake it all together, which you can do without any loss in quality here. So what I'd say, instead of doing all this heating the cream and mixing that in with the eggs and da-da-da-da-da, really whisk the sugar and eggs together, then whisk in the heavy cream, then whisk in the milk, the coconut milk, and then mix in your rum. So basically you have this big raw egg and creamy, sugary mixture, coconutty, milky mixture. And that's fine. Think of it like the kind of thing that you dunk your French toast in. So it's basically gonna be like that. A according to the recipe, the next step is heat the oven to 350 degrees, fill a kettle with water, and place over high heat to bring to a boil. In a baking dish, arrange the challah slices so they overlap in two columns. Pour custard evenly over the top and press down lightly with a spatula. Place the dish in a large deep pan, like a roasting pan. Carefully pour in the boiling water so it comes about halfway up the sides of the baking dish. So what you're describing is what you expect with any bread pudding, laying out the bread in a baking pan. Then that baking pan is set in a larger pan and surrounded by hot water. I would not really skimp on this part of the recipe. It's easy enough to get the water boiling and all that. You could start with just hot tap water. You really don't have to start with boiling water. It's all going to warm up eventually. Starting with boiling water speeds up the cooking process. You don't have to wait for everything to get up to temp. So starting with boiling water here is going to give you a little bit of a speed advantage. But if you don't need that, then you can skip it. You're pouring the custard evenly over the top. That's assuming you made the custard. Since you didn't, you're basically just pouring your entire mixture of eggs and cream and sugar and coconut milk and all that. You're just pouring that over the bread. And then you're setting that baking dish in the larger pan of water and you're putting it in the oven. Totally easy. It says bake until the custard is set, but not too firm, 30 to 35 minutes. And that is fine. You'll basically do exactly that. It might need a little bit more time to cook because you did not pre-cook the eggs before you put everything into the baking dish. Other than that, you don't really have to make any other adjustments. The last step just says sprinkle liberally with sugar and caramelize it with a kitchen torch or by placing it under a broiler. You can guess which one I'm going to do. I think we had a kitchen torch, but then all the gas leaked out, so we don't even use that anymore. Just stick it under the broiler for 2 to 3 minutes. Just remember that your broiler, when you first turn it on, it's not going to seem like it's doing anything. So you kind of want to let it preheat for a while. Once it's hot, things go very, very fast. So don't turn your back on anything you put under the broiler. And sugar especially, you want to let it go just until that moment where you can just start to smell it burning and then whisk it out immediately. If you want to play it safe, you can pull it out before you smell the burning, which is totally, totally fair. So that's that. Serve scooping out in individual portions. Thank goodness he didn't call for individual ramekins because that would be totally maddening. It would be very cute, but honestly, no one's going to do that, or I'm not. I won't blame you if you do, and you have a lot of ramekins. Again, something I don't have. Just for contrast, and just to make sure that I wasn't totally making it up and wasn't leading you down a terrible path, because to be honest, I haven't made this recipe. I'm totally going based on what I know from cooking other recipes. So I went and I looked up other bread pudding recipes to make sure I wasn't totally crazy that you could skip the whole pre-making of the custard. And another recipe I found was by a chef I really trust. Her name is Suzanne Goyne. She wrote a cookbook called Sunday Suppers at Luke. She has a restaurant in Los Angeles. And her recipe is up on a great website called Cookster, COOKSTR.com. They have a huge database of recipes from tons of published cookbooks, so it's a great place to start your search for anything. And many of her recipes are up there, and one of them was a recipe for caramelized bread pudding with chocolate and cinnamon. So the actual flavors in the bread pudding are different, but she also has the caramelizing step, as it says in the title. And I kind of went through her recipe really quick. And again, I'll put a link to this on the show notes at cookinginrealtime.com so you can look that up and compare. She has the same thing. There's brioche or good quality white bread. She says, I like Pepperidge Farm. So there's another tip that maybe you don't even really need the brioche. You might end up with some good results if you just use some good quality supermarket sandwich bread. So already this is seeming like a much more relaxed recipe. Eggs, brown sugar, heavy cream, whole milk, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, kosher salt, bittersweet chocolate, granulated sugar. So the essential components, the eggs, the heavy cream, and sugar are all there. It's just the flavorings that have changed. She suggests buttering each side of brioche, which sounds genius to me. Laurent, you could learn a little something here. I think that might be especially nice if you were just using plain sandwich bread instead of brioche, which is already a pretty buttery bread. And here is the crucial thing. She says whisk together the eggs, egg yolks, and brown sugar in a large bowl. Add the cream, milk, blah, 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 all the seasonings, and whisk to combine well. So she's not doing any kind of pre-cooking, special warming up of the egg yolks or any of that fussy stuff. Fantastic. This is another interesting point I want to compare. I know I've read bread pudding recipes where you don't put the baking pan in a larger pan of water, but I'm looking at hers and she actually does do the baking pan inside a larger pan of water. And since she has been very casual about many other aspects of the recipe, from the quality of the bread to how you combine everything, but she does use the water bath, I'm going to go with the water bath. I'm not going to skimp on that step. She says bake about an hour and 15 minutes until the custard is set. So my thoughts about the Laurent Tourandel recipe, that it would take a longer time, that is going to play out. And in fact, her cooking time is much longer. He said, 35 minutes? Hers is an hour and 15. So that's quite a big difference. And she's also helpful. She says bake about an hour and 15 minutes until the custard is set and the bread puffs up slightly. So there are two little cues to look for. And she says the pudding will be springy to the touch. It's a third thing to look for, whereas Laurent Tourandel's recipe was not entirely clear. He just said set, but not too firm, which leaves you wondering, what is too firm? Oh, she also says let the bread pudding cool 10 minutes. And she says if you have a kitchen blowtorch, I love that implication, like, if you do, great, don't worry. If not, she says, you could run the pudding under the broiler to caramelize it if you don't have a torch, but be careful not to curdle the custard underneath. So that's another thing, you don't want to leave the bread pudding in under the broiler too long, as that ton of heat is going to really upset the eggs that you cooked so delicately in the water bath. I hope that by comparing these two recipes, you can kind of see how there are different ways of getting at the same end goal. And often those two ways are the restaurant way and the home way. And there should be no shame in using the home way, because you're at home, you have those tools, and there's a certain creativity in that space. You don't have to mimic everything they do in a restaurant, because often that's very impractical and requires that you have people who work for you. Anyway, in general, I would also suggest, if you're puzzled by a recipe, you can use the same approach. Decide what the essential thing about the recipe is. Is it a bread pudding? Is it a roast chicken? Is it a braised collard greens kind of recipe? Look for other recipes that are like that and in the same field and see what the different techniques are that each recipe author suggests. And by comparing the recipes, you can pick out which things are important and which things are not. It takes some practice, obviously, and the more experience you have reading recipes, the easier this will get. But it's also a great way to learn, because you can look at recipes and see there are so many different ways of doing something. And so now, after reading both these recipes, I'm totally hungry. I think I definitely want to try Laurent Tourandel's coconut bread pudding and that flavor combination. But I think I'm going to go with Suzanne Goyen's technique, because that seems a lot more streamlined and she explains things a lot better. So try one of these things if you want and let me know how it goes. I'd love to hear. And if you have a recipe that you're a little puzzled by or intimidated by and you just don't know where to start, or a recipe that you suspect is more difficult than it needs to be, send it my way and I would be happy to apply a little recipe decoder magic on it. Drop me a line at zora@cookinginrealtime.com, and I'll be back with you next week with another podcast episode. Until then, have fun and happy eating.